You're positive.
The doctor told me. I thought she was talking about my personality, to which I replied, of course I am. But then she continued, Yetska, your results came in. You tested positive for tuberculosis. TB. What? It's a communicable disease spread through coughing, sneezing, or breathing. It can be fatal if left untreated. We're going to have to isolate you, and we have a room ready for you where you'll be quarantined for the next few weeks until we get rid of the virus. Then you'll be released and stay at home for the next couple of months until San Bernardino County allows you to go back to work, back to school. She kept going on, and I lost all my attention. I started connecting the dots, so this is why I had been coughing like a smoker and spitting out chunks of blood that I could have sworn were pieces of my liver. This was the cause of hot flashes and night sweats. I figured there was only one way I could have contracted this disease. You see, a few months earlier, I'd gone to Indonesia for the first time in my life to visit my dad. December 2008, my dad was at the Bethesda Hospital in Minahasa, and his room looked like a health hazard. Stained walls, cracked ceilings, and he had a roommate who couldn't stop coughing. Now, at that point, I hadn't seen him in almost a year. He'd moved back to Indonesia for an overseas retirement, so to speak. He had family there who could take care of him in his very hometown. My parents decided that was the best way for him to get better after 30 plus years of marriage. His health had always been a problem. I remember spending days in the hospital after he had a stroke and then an aneurysm. A few years later, that left him in rehab for more than a month while I was still in high school. This time, doctors said my dad had heart problems. So I went to see him in the hospital and apparently picked up TB. Ever since then, breathing has always been a privilege. But getting sick set me back in school. I was 20 years old and working towards an associate's degree, and I was going to be the first one in my family to graduate college, to graduate from college. But I had to drop out halfway through the spring semester to recover, and for about 4 months, I was confined to my aunt's house in Montclair, California. My mom and I had rented a room to save up some money. In the spring of 2010, I put on my black cap and gown, and I walked with the rest of the class in the Chaffee College graduation ceremony in Rancho Cucamonga, California. That was a great feeling, not just for me, but for my whole family. A 2-degree done in 4 years? But hey, I did it, and I was so proud. My mom and my older brother were there to celebrate this huge milestone. But then later that year, on December 15, 2010, I got a call from my uncle. He was also my dad's caregiver. Nona, Papa so meninggal. He said, my niece, your dad has passed away. I sat at the end of my bed in complete disbelief. My mom was at work. I was home alone. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't even cry. There's no way he could be gone, but he was. And then the guilt ensued. Why? Why wasn't I there to be with my dad when he took his last breath? Why? A couple weeks had passed, and I went back to work as an event planner for the city of Montclair. But you guys, I felt like I was the one who died. If anything, my dad was free. Weeks turned into months, and I doubted if I would ever make anything of myself. But then that voice I heard coming from deep within, reminding me, breathing is a privilege. Remember that. You survived TB. Breathe. Life is so short. Don't just chase your dream. Seize it. See it. Feel it, breathe it, embody it, and burst into its liveliness with every cell of your being. So I listened to that voice, and I went back to the school, to the University of Laverne, to pursue a bachelor's degree in communications with an emphasis on journalism, broadcast journalism. And even though there weren't many people like me on TV, going back to school was another shock to my system, though. I didn't realize how much projects and finals and studying and, you know, those group projects, those other group members that would let you down, I'm going to invite them to my funeral so they could let me down one last time. First year into university, and bam, I was slammed with depression. Oh, yeah. So hard. Harder than I had hugged my dad the last time I saw him. This depression swallowed me up in its dark abyss. How could I find a way out? A way to be free. Free like my dad. So on November 29th, 2012, I ran for freedom. Right into the intersection on campus, hoping to get hit by a car. One of my classmates grabbed me, pulling me aside to the sidewalk, back to safety, but I was not safe. My thoughts, the mind, threatened me. I begged her, please, please wake me up from this dream now. Wake me up. This is not real. This is not real. There was nothing she could do. School officials ordered me to seek psychological assistance immediately, and I refused, thinking all this was just a dream and I would soon wake up. Well, I did wake up that night, oh, absolutely, at the Aurora Charter Oak Mental Health Facility in West Covina, California. I was admitted for major depressive disorder, and by this point in my life, heck, everything was out of order. For 5 days, I stayed at this hospital, surrounded by people who were dealing with anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, drug addiction, and a whole host of other mental health issues. I slept in the same room with Anastasia, a 17-year-old girl who was admitted for repeatedly cutting herself. She had a scar on her throat to prove it. Through it all, that voice, breathing is a privilege, do not give up, kept whispering inside of me, much like the words of tonight's theme, just keep going. Just keep going. These words soothe my mind. And about a year later, they inspired my senior project, a documentary called Depression, A Hidden Struggle, where I followed two students who faced mental health challenges, like me, but also overcame them. And today, I'm living my dream. I'm telling stories about all walks of life. I've interviewed prisoners and presidential candidates to transients and CEOs. But with all humility, being a journalist on TV does not come without ups and downs. During the low tides, I look at this photo of me holding a microphone when I was 4 years old. Well, I remember this little girl's dream, and I tell her, we are going to get it. We have it, love. It is right here, right now, in our hands. Thank you.
Yetsko Warren shared her story at Ode's Life Storytelling event last month. The theme was Just Keep Going, and it was supported by One Book, One Siouxland. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week.
A couple weeks later, I made one of the biggest mistakes of my life. Surrounded by the six other church members, I married a stranger.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. Our next show is Friday, June 1 at the Marquee in downtown Sioux City. The theme is belonging. Find tickets at kwit.org. You can also listen to past stories online and learn more about Ode on Facebook. The music is by Sean Blomberg, played live at Ode last year. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
When there's nothing left to lose, I can fly right if I choose. You can buy, but you can't wear my shoes. Cause I've got nothing left to lose. So I'm heading home to lick my wounds. And share with my family the news. I put some miles on these here shoes. I've got nothing left to lose. So hopped a midnight train down the coast. Well, I was still wrestling with your ghost. And I caught me a bad case of the blues. And I had nothing left to lose. Spinning circles in the sand. And down came a guiding hand. To show me the way I was confused. I had nothing left to lose. When there's nothing left to lose. Well, you could fly right if you choose. Shame on me and shame on you. When there's nothing left to lose.